everybody, and welcome to another Morphin Novel episode of Voices from the Grid. I am your host for this episode, the Pink Ranger, Brian Massey, and I am joined, as always, by the Red Ranger, Sasha Kaplan.
The one, the only, the ever snarky and ever suffering.
How have you been? It's been a while since we've you and I have just kind of, you know, hung out and talked about Power Rangers for a bit.
Yeah. You know, it was funny because like when we did the schedule for this, you and I think only had this episode, these three episodes to record. And now we're, you guys are in for a Sasha and Brian double feature back to back.
Which, I mean, I've always enjoyed your company. And so, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's a pleasant surprise that we're going to be able to do some episodes today. And so let's get right to it because we've got three episodes for you today. This is right at the beginning of the season. We've since established what the status quo is for this season moving forward. We're going to be starting today with Shadow Rangers. We're then going to be doing Transmission Impossible, and then we will be finishing up with Rally Ranger today. So let's go ahead and get started with Shadow Rangers. And if you'd like, I'll just go ahead and do a very brief synopsis, and then we can get into it. So this episode aired May 1st, 1997. It was directed by Judd Lynn, and the synopsis here is Divatox hires a special monochromite who captures the Power Rangers and creates evil Shadow Ranger doubles from their shadows. Only Tommy is spared this fate, and he'll need to figure out how to save his friends and stop a paint can camouflage detonator at a construction site from blowing up Angel Grove. Meanwhile, a rash of minor thefts is occurring around Angel Grove. So, okay. Let's go ahead and start with my first question for you. So, we start off with Tommy fixing a car engine. I know Justin is a trusted member of the team, but should Tommy have really been so trustworthy of him as to have had him rev that engine and possibly destroy it?
I mean, dads and their children work on cars all the time, so it's not that weird. I would say it is a little bit weird that, like, you know, Tommy isn't working on this car with, like, someone from who... Because it's not like it's his, like, Zord car. It's his, like, race car, because the theme this time, guys, is cars. Did we forget to tell you it's cars? It's cars. It's cars. So that part is, I think, less weird because there's a lot of this, like, little brother energy that Justin is bringing in. So I don't necessarily have an issue with him working with Tommy on the car. I do think Tommy should have been much more clear with his directions to Justin, but I think the Rangers forget sometimes that Justin, like, it's interesting because in some scenes they treat him just like everyone else, and then in some other instances they treat him as the little one, and maybe that just depends on the relationship he has with each Ranger, but I didn't have an issue with it so much, but I do find it weird that the first thing, like, Tommy did tell him was like, hey, make sure your shoelaces are tied so they don't get caught up in the engine or like in any of the equipment that we're working on or whatever it is.
Or even just a little heads up. Hey, don't give it so much gas. Just kind of like salt and pepper it a little bit. And like
gentle.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, but, so for seemingly the fourth time in a row or less, Divatox and Porto have devised a detonator that will blow up at insert random low occupancy area of town here. Why all the bombs and why not in a more populated part of town if the villains wanted to actually do some damage?
Hi, what is Divatox's whole shtick again? What does she want to do?
She's like she's a purple haired like a booby lady who's got a swordfish ship that is from space somehow, I guess.
She's a space pirate in a submarine, because why not? Divatox, you know, having watched already several episodes ahead, this is like the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And this is the definition of Divatox. At the very least, like, you know, the Machine Empire and, you know, Rita and Lorzette, they utilize different tactics to try to destroy the Rangers, to try to, like, get to the Rangers' worst fears. And they would send different kinds of monsters who would wreak different kinds of havoc. And this is like, we're going to set a bomb on a thing. The Rangers are going to spend some time looking for the thing. The Rangers are going to find the thing. They're going to find a monster. There may or may not be a car chase at some point. There's a Zord fight. We stop the detonator. Rangers save the day. And Divatox is cranky.
And spoiler alert, this is like, this isn't going to change for a while. And it just like, at least Lord Zedd was like finding different ways to mess with the Rangers' day or something. It's like, oh, Kimberly doesn't like her lipstick. I'll find a way to do something with that. Or there's a mirror compact thing. Oh, okay, cool. But like here, it's just like, just throw another bomb on it. Whatever.
Like realistically, Divatox could have just like robbed Angel Grove, like set a bomb, right? Have the and set up a monster, have the Rangers chase the monster and look for the bomb. And then you can just like go and rob a bank and there will be no one there to stop you.
And the motivation, if she's a space pirate, that should be perfectly great motivation. But I guess also, because that is a great question, because it's like after her like marriage failed in the movie, like what is she trying to do here? If not, I guess she's just trying to get revenge on the Rangers now or something. But like,
well, that's at the very least, this plan is significantly less stupid than the plan we'll see in the next few episodes, which is, oh, let's make an evil copy of the Rangers. And it with probably, I think, the worst designed monster we've ever seen in, correction, the most lazily designed monster we've ever seen in Power Rangers.
Yes.
It's just like a dude in a suit. Which, like, technically you can argue all monster suits are just a dude in a suit, but at least they're dudes in cool, crazy, wild, insane, terrifying, or ridiculous suits. Just like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a wannabe, it's like when you buy a stormtrooper costume off of Wish and you don't look at the color design.
And like the mask got messed up in the, like the plastic press or whatever too, and so it's all lopsided and whatnot. Even though, it's ridiculous. So moving on to the next question here. So Justin is seen to be very smart throughout the season, almost as if he's supposed to be the next Billy. Blue equals smart. So much so that he creates a homing beacon out of a radio, which is later used by Tommy to track him and the gang down in the Chromite Cave. Which, parentheses, the Shadow Rangers are constantly going down to with the leader of the Chromites. How does that even work? And what are your thoughts on Justin as a character so far? Do you think that, like, he's filling the void that Billy left so far with that?
I think the void, you can still really feel the lack of Billy. I think Justin was brought, you know, we talked about this when we recorded the premiere, the movie and the premiere of the season, which is that like Justin was really brought in to try to appeal to a younger audience because ratings were down. And Justin, I think, I know Justin gets a lot of hate, but I think he's actually a really good example of a kid that happens to be really techie. Like, he's an ordinary kid. He likes hanging out with his friends. And yeah, he's got a good mind for gadgets. But at the end of the day, he's still 12.
Yes.
And that's pretty evident in everything that he does. For those that unfortunately cannot watch, my cat is behind me causing havoc. And it is adorable because he is adorable. But back to Power Rangers. Yeah, there's a few episodes later on that we'll talk about where Justin kind of was like annoying. But here he's just like a smart kid, but it's not even like he's not like, you know, Billy level genius smart, but he is good with gadgets. And, you know, he says that like he took apart the radio to make a little homing device. And I'm like, that's brilliant. You know, this is like, I don't know, I guess the equivalent of like making a battery out of a potato. It's like he's like science fair smart. He's like a little bit, he's smarter than like the average 12-year-old for sure. And he's definitely on par with the Rangers in terms of his technical know-how, but he's not Billy level. And he's still just a kid. And a lot of the episodes in the series, there's at least, I think, two or three episodes that we have to review together that really delve into Justin as a character a little bit more. So we'll talk about that when we get there.
That sounds great. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. Probably in a little like motor car.
no more cars, please. So many cars.
So many cars. It's almost like they got the footage from a season called Car Ranger or something. What are your thoughts on like the Shadow Rangers design? And we already got your thoughts on like the Chromite guy. Is his name the Chromite? I can't remember. Like it's weird. It's like he's a Chromite, but like they're branded Chrome. I don't know.
There's a lot of things that don't make sense in Power Rangers. Just accept it.
I've done that for many years. It's a perfectly good explanation for all of this. The Shadow Rangers and the Chromites are constantly going down in this shady cave to hide away from the Rangers, yet shade from the sun is their only weakness, so much so that the Chromite warrior is defeated by the Turbo Megazord simply walking in front of the sun. Did I miss an explanation for the show, or did they just not explain how the cave shade is different from other shade?
So they did explain that, but it's very, very, they don't actually explain it. It's one of the few times where Power Rangers does show don't tell.
Okay.
So I think I have a note here somewhere, but basically, remember how they were all standing around that weird little crystal thing?
Yes.
That's the thing. I think that's what was the implication that I got, which was not given a concrete explanation, was that that was like a light source that kept them like energized inside the cave and provided light. Because when it got destroyed or something, I think somebody disappeared or something. It's weird.
I can't believe I missed the MacGuffin. I can't believe that.
What I don't understand is like Divatox actually had like a really good plan here that would have destroyed like 95% of the Rangers. But they once again do the thing where Divatox always does, where like the detonator is set for too long. So it's giving a shit about what's going on with like, oh, we need to get rid of Tommy before we can do anything else. No, just like set a shorter timer, destroy the Rangers, and we'll play with Tommy. He'll be too distracted to do anything.
Yeah. You literally are able to teleport out of there. Set it for like 30 seconds. Boop, boop, gone. Like
even like a minute. As soon as you had Justin, you could have just set a 2-minute timer and be gone. Because it takes Tommy at least like, I don't know, a few hours probably to get there in Power Ranger time. But it is what it is. Like, not much that can be done.
It is what it is. So what are your thoughts on Dimitri so far? Her and Tommy have this bit of a terse exchange. As he's told that he has to talk to her in questions, as that's how her race works, until it suddenly doesn't work like that halfway through the show.
There's a moment a few episodes from now where she actually just like says a statement. I'm like, that wasn't a question. But okay. I have a note here. It says Tommy asked Demetria for help. Dot dot dot. She's not helpful. Nope. Also, Alpha is insufferable.
Yo, 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 Rangers.
Oh my god. I can't. It hurts my ears.
Hey.
This is like oi, oi, oi. Forget the I. This is oi, oi, oi. Because he's like, oh, she's from Inquiris. Like, yeah, but this is a life or death situation. I understand that I understand that the whole point is that she's from this planet called Inquiris, blah, blah, she has questions. But then, like, what's the point of her? She doesn't do anything other than ask the right question to get Tommy to figure out his own answer. Meanwhile, Tommy's like, my friends are in danger. Like, I can't think straight.
Yeah.
But Tommy does science. I have a note there for that.
Tommy doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't do. He does a science. But like, I don't know. Demetria is, I don't know. She's kind of insufferable. She just like, because it almost feels like, I don't know, it's like you've had this like one teacher for a long time and like he's really understanding and really cool and almost fatherly, and then you like go to another grade and all of a sudden it's like literally like your first interaction is like, hey, can I go to the bathroom? I don't know, can you? And it's like, oh my god, please, why with this crap? It's like,
yeah,
they're
No, go Sorry, ahead. Sorry, finish.
I was just rambling. Sorry, go on.
No, you're fine. I do want to go back to the question you asked earlier that I don't believe I answered, which was what was my opinion on the designs of the Shadow Rangers.
Right,
And There is no design for the Shadow Rangers. They just have grayed out helmets, which is like only done to help us know that these are not the real Rangers. And
Exactly.
That's about it.
I honestly think what happened with these is, and I don't know if like it's on the wiki or not, but like what I'm willing to bet happened is they like had some molds or something, and they like literally just stuck some visors in some helmets that they put some primer on or something, and were like, okay, go. That's what it looks like. It's like before they put like the paint and gloss on it, they probably were just like, all right, just put some like gray matte primer on there and you're good. They at least look better than the Zed Rangers, I guess.
Look, that's not hard.
I know. No, I'm trying to throw them some kind of a bone there, I guess.
But what is cool though is that they do manage to pretty like kick the Rangers' butts. What I think is really silly though is the Rangers never thought like, hey, maybe I should fight like, if I'm the Green Ranger, maybe I should fight the Pink Ranger, the Shadow Ranger, and like not my own color. But nobody ever came up with that one.
Yeah, it's I don't know, because obviously I guess they know like yeah they would yeah. Why does nobody ever just think outside the box on that kind of stuff? I don't know. But yeah, I think it's fine. Most importantly, though, about this episode is that we find out that Lieutenant Stone is the new owner of Ernie's Juice Bar, and that Ernie was recalled by his foreign service unit to build a bridge in the Amazon.
At least it's not a peace conference.
He's going to shack up with the three sometime soon. It's just like, hey, guys, got done here. Oh, God. So in reality, Ernie's actor, Richard Janelle, had to leave the show due to his declining health. And so I beg your question, was this okay enough of a send-off? And why is Ernie heading to the Amazon? Like, I don't think they ever made mention of, like, he was in the Foreign Service Unit back in the day. What?
You know, I'm going to look that up in the wiki because I need an answer for that.
Yeah.
But I don't remember. Actually, maybe he did once mention the Foreign Service, but I will find out. It feels like it's too random. But then again, the peace conference also came. Well, the peace conference didn't come out of nowhere. They prefaced it a little bit.
Yeah.
The Ranger wiki has nothing.
Yeah, it has nothing. I'm almost curious if like, oh, well, he's going to the Amazon because his shirt, you know, looks like a rainforest or something. And they were like, oh, yeah, just send him to the what?
Okay. They couldn't have just like said he decided to start a franchise and move to Florida. Like,
right?
Like, it's random. But I guess like, you know, Ernie was always a character that was trying to do something amazing for the community, right? Mm-hmm. Every charity event, every like school dance, like everything that like, everything was just happened at the juice bar. God, I wonder how much government subsidies the city of Angel Grove owes Ernie for all of that. But
you know, it's kind of fun because I just saw, and like this is just a quick sideline, but like there was actually a 30th anniversary comic special that delves into like Ernie's story, and it's an alternate universe thing. But it's kind of funny you mentioned that because like he has to like sell the juice bar in that story because he's like he owes the state of California back taxes. And I'm like, what? I was like, oh, that's fun to read. Tax evasion possible. But like, you're right though. In the show, he probably is owed quite a bit because like he has raised so much.
And like, you know, like I said, every event, the stuff with the orphans, like this is a man that probably gave more to this, gave as much to the city of Angel Grove as the Power Rangers, if not more so. Because all the Power Rangers usually do is just defeat a monster when Ernie's like actually helping rebuild the city, probably. So I guess it's like, it's cool that they gave him something kind of interesting and like noble to do, I guess. But at least I assume it's noble. But other than that, I don't really like, it would have been nice to like maybe have him come back for just like one episode so we could really like have him tell the Rangers, like, you know, I'm looking to sell. And then at the end of the episode, like, oh, here's, you know, him handing the keys to Lieutenant Stone. but it is what it is.
You what you do is you tell them that Ernie's leaving, and then the Rangers show up, and it's like, Rangers, here's the new owner of the juice bar, and Lieutenant Stone comes down in this white suit and Cat faints or something. I'm kidding. Like, it's like, oh, it's like the white light version of the juice bar ownership being switched over. I don't know, whatever. It's stupid. It's a, such a stupid idea, but I just in my head it was hilarious. So let's go ahead and move on to Transmission Impossible, very clever title name, which aired May 2nd, 1997. Visceron, a friend of Demetria, travels to Earth from the Inquiris. Ranger Wiki, I don't know who wrote this, but there needs to be a planet after that. Travels to Earth from Inquiris to tell her that she has a sibling. However, he is abducted by Divatox and turned against the Power Rangers. Okay, so a lot happens in this episode.
Yeah.
So basically, what winds up happening is Visceron is kidnapped by Divatox, and he refuses to tell her what's going on. So he then gets brainwashed by this brainwash transformation spray.
That is never used again.
It's never, yeah, you would think that that's a pretty handy thing to have just on hand, right?
Kidnap a ranger, use it on them. Wow, I'm really selling myself as a future Power Ranger villain here, aren't I?
You know what? I would support
Hey, no.
it.
Let's Netflix end the SAG strike, then we can chat about that.
Yeah.
Let's hope by the time this episode airs, the SAG strike is still not going on.
Stay strong, guys. So Visceron winds up becoming a dishwashing alien, to which I wrote, what in the Sentai footage is going on here? What do you think about this? Obviously, I've got a little bit of your thoughts on this brainwashing plot, but what do you think about this whole thing? It's like there because there's so much happening here. What are your thoughts overall on this episode? And we'll dive more a little bit into it.
So what's interesting is that Visceron is, we don't actually know until the very end what message he's actually bringing to
Right.
Demetria. We know that he's coming from Inquiris. He's coming to Demetria because they get the signal, which Divatox intercepts. And Divatox thinks it's like some cool, like important thing. And she tries to get him to tell her the message. This is part of a side plot that I think was that like we'll talk about where it was leading, but it doesn't go anywhere, unfortunately. But Visceron doesn't tell her the message, and Divatox like, okay, well, I guess we'll brainwash you. And she basically, like, the Rangers almost actually kill him because they think he's just a monster, which
Yeah.
sort of foreshadows kind of things that will happen like in space a little bit. But so Visceron's design was kind of like very obviously a Japanese model for a character. And his design when he's like in the brainwashed form was actually very cool, how it like completely changed his face and helmet.
Yeah.
So I kind of liked the mystery because I was like, because I really don't remember most of these episodes. I don't think I ever even watched some of these. I think I just sort of tuned in right when the transfer of power happens. So I didn't really remember Visceron, but I was like, what message is this? And I'm like racking my Power Ranger brain. I'm like, it's not the millennial message. Like, it's too early for that. What is going on? And then, you know, once the message is revealed, this concept that like, oh, BT Dubs, you have a sister that was, you know, whatever. And Dimitri's like, oh, you can't be
My
serious. I
gosh.
have a sister. And I'm like, well, isn't that funny? And then it was like, oh, that's right. This is that side plot that doesn't go anywhere kind of thing.
Yeah.
So this was actually a decent episode because it does, there's a couple of things happening, right? We learned that Tanya is working on the radio show. So there's a little bit of, I don't know if I can call it character development. There's some additional character notes that we now have on Tanya because we know she likes music. although I think, wasn't she interested in becoming a singer at one point?
Yes, and her and Tommy did a lovely rendition, I believe, during Zio or something.
Oh God, no. Oh, you no, don't bring that up.
Small for the
don't
car.
No, stop. It was so bad. It was so bad.
Oh Lord.
So bad.
I'm so sorry. I didn't. I'm so sorry. I brought that back into your brain. I apologize.
That's it. Guys, we have to end the episode. I have to go die now. No, I'm kidding. No, but like the episode is a little bit different. And the fact that the Rangers actually almost killed Demetrius' friend could have had some like interesting ethical consequences, but we're not ready for a serious conversation about ethics and Power Rangers yet.
That would have been very interesting. And that would have been very, that would have been cool, because now it's like, well, there's this, because not to kind of like, you know, play like armchair quarterback on that, but like what I think would be kind of cool now that you bring that up, and I'm just kind of on the spot, how cool would it be where like Dimitri is like, well, you guys, you know, obviously like you couldn't have foreseen this happening. Now Dimitri has to go back to her home planet and figure out what's going on, or try and like find another way to get that message. And Divatox could use that against her. I feel like that would be probably kind of a more interesting plot point, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, like you could have let Dimitri being like, oh, I have to go to back to Inquiris and inquire about this first, like, and then actually leave the Rangers for the first time. Without any kind of mentor and having to rely on themselves. But I think with this season, there is a lot going on behind the scenes, right? Divatox's original actress is on maternity leave, right? If I remember correctly. So they had to bring in a new actress. You have Jason David Frank being like, yo, I'm kind of done here. Can I peace out yet? And, which I do not blame him. He's been in this for so long. He's the last remnants of like the first Mighty Morphin season, even though he didn't start out like at the beginning of Mighty Morphin, right?
He's been there long enough.
Yeah, he's so far the longest serving Ranger in this team. And so there's a lot of scrambling happening of like, okay, how do we sort of write around Tommy? Because if you notice as we get through some of these episodes, Tommy sort of appears less and less. Which makes sense. So I can imagine that they really wanted to do something with this plot point, but because of so many changes happening in the season, some things had to go. And so I think, well, who was it? I think Linkara mentioned it at one point that the side plot in question was going to reveal that Divatox and Demetria were sisters, because we find out later, I think, that Divatox was adopted, which explains why Elgar is her nephew.
Fair enough.
And I don't know where he got that, it would make sense given kind of where the story's headed, because Demetria and Divatox do kind of look similar, even though Demetria is wearing the little.
I think they're. I think it's the same actress too, right?
Let me look it up. I think so.
Okay. Well, while Sasha does that, I will go ahead and say, even if it doesn't get revealed right here, and we're about to find out whether or not it actually, I'm not sure if it actually does get revealed, because I have not watched the entirety of Turbo yet, but like if it's not revealed, I think it's pretty blatantly obvious who it should be. I mean, like the, like, because in my thoughts it's like, who else could it possibly be? Who is the other main female actress or like character on the show that's not a Ranger?
Yeah. And so it is Carol Hoyt, who played Divatox for the first part of the season and played Demetria. Yeah.
Did they keep her on for Demetria after, what's her name, came back?
Let's see. She played Divatox in the first half of Power Rangers Turbo while Hillary Shepherd Turner was on maternity leave. Turner later returned in the episode The Darkest Spy. She also played Demetria for the same season up until the character's departure in Chase into Space Part 1. So she does stay on as Demetria the entire season.
Well, that's good. Okay. I feel like that would have been really, like, that would have been really crappy if, like, Hillary Shepherd came back. It's like, okay, you're out of both roles now.
Yeah, like, no. Well, not like they really needed Demetria anyway, but yeah. I do think Carol Hoyt like kind of is enjoying chewing the scenery as Divatox, because the way that she delivers her dialogue is so much like, I'm going to take up as much space as possible because I'm Divatox, and it works so well. And so that when Hillary Shepherd comes back, it's a slightly different take on Divatox, but she kind of maintains that sort of rhythm and power. So I wonder if I'm sure that like when, because Hillary Shepherd portrayed her in the movie. And so it would kind of make sense if she, if Carol had like watched Hillary Shepherd's performance or talked to her or talked to the producer, like, okay, how did she do this, to try to kind of mirror it? Because like as a kid, you don't notice the transition between the actresses, which is, oh, I forgot. I have one really weird note about Shadow Rangers.
Oh, okay.
It's about Elgar. And the arrival of the shadow monster thingy. Why is this monster greeted and they walk by as if it's a wedding?
Honestly, I don't know.
And they, and I think Porto refers to Elgar and the monster as a lovely couple.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, I wish them nothing but the best in you know, holy evil matrimony. I honestly, I'll be completely honest, I did not notice that.
I saw them walking and I was like, wait. And at first I was like, is this like a female monster? Because like Power Rangers isn't gonna do anything remotely implying same sex anything. And then I rewound again. I'm like, huh. Well, isn't that funny?
I mean, she could have just had a really good voice. Yeah.
But I'm sorry, back to Transmission Mission. Or Transmission Impossible. I have it as Transmission Mission for some reason.
Transmission Mission. Hey, you know what? Nope. That's you know what? We're going with that now. Transmission Mission. better title. Okay. So Tanya is working at the local radio station playing all the royalty-free hits, even if we do get Alanis Morissette reference in the middle of the episode. She's unable to join the Rangers when she finds out that a detonator, yet again, was planted on site and sends out a coded message for them to respond on air. How screwed is Tanya if they didn't respond to this? Mm. And could she have just put on a long-ass song like Freebird and gone to find it herself, you think?
So the problem is just she didn't really know where it was and she couldn't actually leave the radio station. So even if she does put on like Bohemian Rhapsody or something, that only gives her like 8 minutes, 7 minutes, right?
Right.
It's like barely enough time to get outside, take a peek and like run back. But I think the part that I found kind of silly about that whole thing is how long it takes Tanya to realize she can't actually contact the Rangers.
Mm.
Because it goes like, Rangers, Rangers, like, it's not like it's the first time you couldn't be able to reach the Rangers to know something is wrong, right? So she's like, Rangers, Rangers. Meanwhile, the other Rangers are already, like, doing stuff. They also hear about the detonator. They're trying to contact Tanya. It's not working. They immediately go to the radio station while she's still, like, or no, I'm sorry. She, like, she keeps trying, and she's like, oh, wait, I can't get through. And then she puts on the message to the, I wish it would have been, like, a bit more subtle, though. I was like, who just randomly requests a song for the Power Rangers? He couldn't have been like, this is a song about, you know, the developing energizer of whatever coded to my friend, you know, Adam and Kat.
Or she could have done something like, wow, hey, you guys are... to send something out like, you know, Adam, Kat, or, you know, whoever. It's like, you guys have just won like 2 tickets, but they're going really fast. And if you don't come down here in the next 20 minutes, they're going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Almost the like other, they're going to blow up in smoke or something, you know?
The other silly part of this is, I know Billy designed the communicators, right?
Yes.
But they were designed in alliance. In alignment with alien tech, right? With me so far?
Yes.
Okay. Alien tech device disrupted by something as rudimentary and basic as radio waves. Does this mean if Tommy was driving in the car and he had the radio cranked up, that would also have disrupted the communicators?
Yeah. Well, I mean, is that, you know, receiving the radio signals or transmitting them? And also, does that mean then that the communicators have to comply with the FCC interference guidelines where they have to receive, like, I don't know. I really don't know, but like
it's just silly to me that like Because by that logic, they shouldn't have ever been able to use their communication equipment anytime they were next to a satellite or a radio station, which, like, you'd think Zordon would, like, have thought ahead of that, or, like, Billy clearly, like, knew that these communicators needed to be, like, I don't know, maybe we'd have to go back and see how Billy designed them. Maybe it's Billy's design flaw, but it was just, like, kind of silly to me that, like, the radio is what's disrupting your communication of your, like, communicator built off alien tech to some extent, and hopefully upgraded since Billy built the original models.
I had no idea that, like, because, like, I think it also taps into, like, the morphing grid too, because that's how they can, like, communicate, or they can, like, teleport, right? So who would have thought the morphing grid would have been disrupted by, like, FM AM radio?
Actually, speaking of that, if she could, why did Tanya, like, because she could have put on a long song, right? Teleported to the command center, being like, hey guys, my communicator doesn't work. There's a bomb at the radio station, and teleported back. There's a very simple explanation that I don't know what it is.
You know, something about you that I like that I also find kind of irritating sometimes is just, like, how spot on you can be with stuff like that, and how, like, I didn't think of that either. And it's like, what? Because no, you're absolutely right. She could have literally, like, she could have, like,
unless the radio waves also disrupt teleportation capabilities.
She literally could have put on Ozzy Osbourne's, like not the radio cut, but, like, the original cut of, like, No More Tears, which is, like, 10 minutes long, gone, boop, hey guys, there's a bomb at the radio station, get over here now, boop, come back, and been like, hey everybody, how's it going? So, up next is, and it's like, I think if, like, that's, I guess, like, if that's said or whatever, or, like, somebody points that out, then, like, the plot falls apart. So we don't have an episode.
Look, my job here is to ask the real questions. As the leader of this Ranger team that is Voices from the Grid, that is my prerogative to ask the questions that need to be asked.
And based on my color, I'm just here to look pretty.
Hey, they're pretty badass pink Rangers. You know, it's not all about just looking pretty and doing gymnastics or whatever sport Kat does. Ballet? Yeah. Swimming? I can't remember.
I forget. I have to go get my leotard off the line before it rains. Anyways, but... Lord. Anyways, yeah. I'm kind of irritated about not realizing that. I have one more question for this episode, and then we'll move on to our final episode. Tanya has to leave to fight with the Rangers, and it seems like her job is in jeopardy when it's revealed that the chimpanzees, formerly known as Bulk and Skull, are taking over the station. Her boss calls, and instead of being fired, he thinks this was a great idea. Monkeys on radio. Thoughts?
I got nothing.
I got nothing either. I guess, like, for me, I just love the idea that, like, Tanya thinks her job is in jeopardy and she's been trying so hard. So, like, I can only imagine the kind of, like, just she has to feel whenever she gets a call from her boss and she's like, hello, are you mad at me? Like, did I mess up here? And her boss is just like, monkey's funny.
I do have a few more notes about this episode, which is, so the Rangers teleport to start looking for the detonator, right?
Oh God, yes.
and it's like, so the way that they teleport, for those that didn't see the episode, is they teleport basically right in front of the freaking detonator, and they actually look around, cannot find it, and keep walking. And you're left with staring at the TV screen right at the detonator. And I'm like,
almost as if the almost as if, like, the camera zooms in to just go, can you believe this?
It's like, it's cartoonish.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, obviously the bomb does blow up with Visceron. Oops. And he, like, fought with the Rangers. Everything's fine. But here's my thing. So they have him in the tube and everything. And they don't really explain what's going on, but I have a note that says, ah yes, love and friendship heals bomb blasts. Because I think Dimitri just gives some speech about the importance of love and friendship or whatever, and then he just heals. I'm like, okay, that's not how that works. That's, to borrow a phrase from our amazing Green Ranger, that's not how science works.
Do you think that Tommy and Adam might have been like talking to them? It's just like, hey guys, we did this thing a while back when Zordon was really messed up and out of his tube, but like we're gonna need everybody to get into a circle and like join hands and just kind of chant kumbaya, and then, you know.
Okay, I have a question for you. Was Tommy even really in this episode?
Not that I remember now.
So he only shows up morphed with the voiceover.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I guess he's busy trying to
be a race car driver
or something. I don't know.
Gotta get that money for his paleontology degree somehow.
He's gotta get on that soon, if not like last year or something. I forget what the math is that Ben did, but like it was ridiculous. So yeah, this episode was
not all in all, like, it's not the worst episode.
No, it's not the worst episode we'll talk about today. Let's go ahead and wrap up here. It's been fun, but let's wrap up with Rally Ranger. It aired May 5th, 1997. Justin competes in a soapbox derby while Porto attacks the Power Rangers against Divatox's orders. We got a bullying episode because we have to talk about, you know.
Well, you have to remind the new children that bullying is bad, that the ones that haven't been tuning in since 1993.
It's a great point. So I don't really have that many questions for this one in particular, but I feel like we could talk about it for a bit. But my first question is, Justin is in the soapbox derby contest and he's run off the road by a bully and his car gets destroyed. The Rangers offer to help, but it's against the rules. Like, how does that even work?
Well, the idea behind it, as far as I know, and this is based purely from other films, is like you're supposed to do it yourself with like very little help from the adults. I know like in some movies it was like a father-son thing, they'll like build it together. So maybe like, but Justin's dad is like,
Well, Tommy's his new daddy, so I don't know.
I don't think so, but I don't know. If anybody has ever done a soapbox derby, because I don't know if that's like actually a thing, please tell us. Please tweet at us. Let us know.
So I didn't do that, but I did like the smaller version of that, and I'll make the story very short. I promise. But so I used to be a Cub Scout, and we did this thing called the Pinewood Derby. And you basically made these little cars that ran on like these Hot Wheel tracks or whatever. And I guess the reason why I'm kind of confused about this is because I guess I'm like putting my thing onto this, because my dad used to help me out with that, like, you know, quite a bit. Like, obviously, like, I worked on it myself, but like, you know, he would help out with like drilling and all this kind of stuff. So I'm just like, that was a small car and they're building something that not only like, you know, is full size, but like they have to drive the thing. And I'm like, they're not being supervised a little bit. It's like, hey, be careful with that hammer and nail. Like, I don't know. Doesn't make sense to me.
So apparently this is still a thing. Soapboxderby.org. It's still an organization. It's been, I guess the Soapbox Derby has been going on since 1934.
Oh, wow.
Well, thanks Power Rangers for making me Google something I never thought to Google before.
How about that? Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, but I guess since like it's a kit, I guess like the kids are supposed to be the ones to put it together, but I can't find anything. Like, I don't really have time here to like look through the rules, but it actually makes sense. If this is supposed to be about like being youth oriented, inspiring and like challenging young kids, it makes sense that they have to do this on their own. But I guess like these days you can like buy a kit or something and then like go off the kit.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's really cool actually. But yeah, and like all of the cars have like cool, like silly names and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the, it's actually here on the Ranger Wiki. One of the Derby cars is named Slippery Shark, which is a reference to one of the Mighty Morphin Season 1 monsters. So, yeah, that's kind of cool.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So, in kind of a reverse coin situation, Porto is also being bullied by Divatox and friends, who puts his foot down and goes AWOL. Justin's situation is resolved when the detonator, we have a hat trick for this episode, folks, and the bully's car goes off, and Justin, in his new car he built overnight, saves the bully from certain doom. Porto, on the other hand, has to go groveling back to Divatox after his stint goes awry. Thoughts on this kind of George Lucas, like, wow, it's poetry, it rhymes thing, or...
Honestly, I kind of barely noticed, like, Porto coming back, like, was not a shocker. I don't know. I don't really have any opinion. I think it's fun to see Porto, like, go big and do something active instead of just hanging around the ship, which he does in a few of the later episodes as well.
Sure.
But, yeah, I don't know why he's suddenly so self-conscious about bullying, considering he makes fun of Elgar, Elgar makes fun of him, and Divatox hates everybody, like...
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, in this episode, like, they kind of, like, upped the, like, hey, we're going to push him around a little bit just to kind of make the point, you know, drive it home. But, I don't know. I don't even know what the bully's, I can't even remember what the bully's name is in this episode, but, like, he's such a little, like, kind of snot-nosed dork, and,
And Justin finally makes a friend his own age that we will never see again. But,
Par for the course for Power Rangers. I guess, like, we can talk about this for a second, too, because, like, part of Justin's whole thing is, like, he wishes he wasn't smart because, like, then he would fit in better. And, like, that's part of the reason why he's getting bullied in the first place by this kid, is because the kid was like, well, you're so smart that, like, I just felt... Almost like he's literally saying, like, I felt threatened by you, so that's why I was doing this stuff to you.
I thought it was that why he was bullying him? I thought it was more competitive nonsense of, like, my car's better than your car, and I win this race every year kind of nonsense.
No, he literally says, like, along the lines of, like, you know, like, you're just, you know, you're really smart, and, like, I just, you know, he doesn't so much say, like, the clinical definition of that, but, like, he says pretty much close enough to it. And I mean, really though, like, what is Justin going to do at this point? Is he going to be like the monkey from Futurama and, like, dent his hat or whatever and try not to be so smart? Or I don't,
but,
like,
speaking of the Derby race.
Yes.
So there's a woman in this episode that literally does the exact same thing in the, like, 2.5 scenes that she's in. She's filling up slushies or something. I don't know why. And so the slushies, so she's like pours the slushies, gives the person, like, it's very, like, robotic, which, like, granted, it's, like, not exactly the world's greatest role by any means.
Yeah.
It is what it is anyway, but then, like, the monkeys, like, Vulcan skull monkeys do something, and then Lieutenant Stone ends up with a slushie on his head, which I thought was very mean and unnecessary.
Yeah.
I'm like, lady, you had one job. Like, you're just supposed to pour the slushies, not on people's heads, into the cups. Like that was, it was, like, I'm not the biggest fan of Lieutenant Stone, but I don't think he deserved that.
I don't either. That was, I honestly, I'm not going to lie, I don't have many notes for this. Like,
there's
literally,
not that much to say about this episode.
You know, I got a note here, basically. Turns out that the reason the Turbo Megazord isn't fighting Porto in this episode is because in the Sentai they hadn't earned their mecha yet or whatever, so that's why they're driving around in the little go-kart things, the little, you know, the little bumper car things.
That explains a lot, actually, when we do the next episodes.
Yeah, because you know, not to bore you, but, like, they have to, like, in Sentai there's a big emphasis on, like, earning everything instead of it just being there, so, like, They had to earn them.
I do see that in like later episodes, later seasons of Power Rangers, where they earn new power ups and they have to do stuff to unlock other things. But yeah, this episode is like, a lot of these episodes, if you notice, are like, as we said at the beginning, very formulaic. Rangers are doing a thing. Diva Talks posts a bomb. Something goes wrong. There's a monster. And they're going to get even more formulaic in a second. But this was like a very like basic Power Rangers episode. There's nothing really like, there's really nothing memorable about it, honestly.
No, there is not. I mean, it's honestly is one of those episodes where it's like, okay, I guess I got to watch this if I'm going to watch the whole season just so I can start getting towards the end. And it's like, am I going to remember this one? Probably not. It out of the three, I don't think it's the most important of these episodes. And I don't really think any of these episodes are actually super important at all. Like, you would think that there's like some kind of emphasis being put on like, well, oh crap, okay, we're just going to go with Demetria.
Well, we can talk more about that when we record our next episodes.
How about that? All right. Well, let's go ahead and start wrapping up here. Sasha, where can we find you on the World Wide Web?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, the Moon. I don't even know what I'm on anymore. And it's all at Geeky Kaplan. That is Kaplan with a K after the greatest superhero in the Marvel Universe, Billy Kaplan.
Awesome. And as for me, you can find me on Twitter at One Drunk Geek. You can also find me at castwavestudios.com. Feel free to check out our new show, Two Fat Guys Eat. We're three fat guys and we eat, but the title, I don't know. Talk to our friend Colin about that. But you can also find me on TikTok at Blue Ranger B-Ride. I made the title before I got switched to pink. Not a big deal. And this show is on txththockey.com/Power Rangers, I believe.
Just go to the website, you'll find it. Otherwise, we're on Spotify. And of course, you can also annoy us on Twitter, which is at VFTG_PR.
Yes. And as for that, I'll just go ahead and say thank you again, Sasha, for, you know, doing an episode with me. It's been fun. And for everybody out there, be sure to grab your turbo morphers and your turboizer keys, or I can't, oh my God, it's been, I can't remember what they're called.
And may the power protect you.